but I think over the majority of it, I think yesterday was the biggest part of it. So I'm going to try to stay away from you guys so y'all don't get discouraged also. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and your blessings and your grace. And we thank you for your word, how much it means to us. Lord, we come humbly now asking that you would speak to us, that you would put forth your spirit, the same spirit that raised our Lord from the grave. That same spirit, would you grant repentance in our lives and encourage us in the areas of our lives that we desperately need encouragement. Would you do this work, Lord, for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom's sake alone? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I left my water bottle down here. Well, I really wanted to, I was very excited about, by the way, you can tell Beth is gone. I'm in jeans and my happy shoes. Yeah, she would not have allowed that if she was here. She is on her way to go pick up her mom in South Carolina. Well, now, she probably won't listen. She hears enough of it all the time anyways. So, I was very excited about doing Isaiah 29. There's so much in Isaiah 29, and I cannot wait to get to it next week. But I felt like for us to cover Isaiah 29 like we needed to, I needed to be at full capacity, and I am not. I can tell you that. And in Isaiah 29, that is, Paul used Isaiah 29 when he, when the Holy Spirit was using Paul to write Romans. And you know the analogy in Romans 9 where it talks about the potter and the clay. That's where the Apostle Paul got it from, Isaiah 29. There's a lot in Isaiah 29. It's a great, well, they're all great, but it's a wonderful chapter. But I wanted to be at full capacity. But I want to share something. And before I leave, I'm gonna share a little bit from the Word, and then I'm gonna share with you what I was going to share at our fellowship supper, our fellowship meal. And then I'm going to be dismissed. I'm going to just walk out and go climb back in the bed. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 1. I cannot stand before you on Sunday morning and not crack the Word. I thought about doing something else and sharing with y'all and praying with y'all and us leaving, but I thought, man, I can't do it. And this, you know, most people get 15-minute sermons every Sunday, but you honestly are about to get a 15-minute sermon. I'm not even sure if I can preach a 15-minute sermon. So in Psalm 1, which we sang, 2 weeks ago, in a psalm that you guys should be so familiar with. What a beautiful psalm. Psalm of accountability and encouragement. But in this psalm, God basically says there's two types of people. There's godly people and there's wicked people. And he lays out a description of this. He paints a picture of the godly people and then paints a picture of the wicked. And then in verse 5 and 6, he basically says, this is what's going to happen. The judgment of both. What will be for both. So, in these two categories, let's look at the first one. The picture of the godlies in verse 1 through 3. And you see three characteristics in these first three verses. But let's read it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So this is the picture of the godly. In verse 1, we see that this man or this person has an audience of one. There's only one person or one thing that matters to him, and that is to please God Almighty. He cares more about what God thinks than what anybody else thinks. A godly man, a godly woman will care more about what God thinks than even what their spouse thinks. That's the bottom line. He will care more about what God thinks of him and what God wants. And he is standing really before an audience of one person, the Lord Almighty. The second thing that we see in these first three verses is this. He has one authority. It's the Scripture. He loves it, is what the passage says. He loves the Scripture. He can't live without it. He meditates on it day and night. He wants it. What does that mean for us so often when we have to make ourselves meditate on these things? He finds freedom in God's commandments. It's not something that binds him up or cages him. It is what he delights in. He delights in knowing what God wants and what God says to be obedient to the Lord. He loves the law of God because he loves his Lord. The third thing that we see here is that the godly person is not moved. He's like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He's strong. He weathers the storms that come and go. He stands for what's right no matter what is going on around him. You know, and you guys know this because we've all been here. But just last week, for whatever reason, because I was full Isaiah 29. And then Thursday, I started getting a headache. And it lasted for 2 days, Thursday and Friday. And I started going, Lord, what is going on? I mean, I could hardly open one eye and I was squinting all the time. And yesterday, but as I was driving around town, I started noticing these huge oak trees, which y'all noticed them. And I was thinking, Lord, how? We lost so many trees during Hurricane Michael. So many. I mean, our neighborhood used to be called Pine Forest. Now it should be called Desert. Because we had so many pine trees in our neighborhood. It's Pine Forest. We don't have any trees in our neighborhood anymore. But as I was looking at these oak trees, I started, and I was like, Lord, how in the world? They look so gangly and it doesn't look like that they could have withstood all that wind, but they did. And they even grew stronger because of it. That's a picture of the godly person. It is not moved, no matter what comes. It's not moved. You know, we have a lot going on in our world today. And there's a lot of Christians that are even getting worked up and caught up. And, you know, it just seems like that they run around and it's like Chicken Little, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky is falling. Which, if the sky does fall, it's because God wants it to fall. So, the characteristic or the picture that I think the psalmist wants us to see here is that the godly person has an audience of one, and it's God. That the godly person has one authority, and it's the scripture, and that the godly person is not moved because he's planted and rooted. Now let's look at the ungodly person. In verse 4, it says this, and I'm going to just read the first line because it says the ungodly are not so. Well, it's referring back to what we just covered. The ungodly do not have an audience of one. They live in the crowds and try to figure out what the polls are saying and what is the majority and what is that the majority can't be wrong, right? And they follow these ways and they follow friends and they follow the opinions of the world and the things of the world, and instead of having an audience of one, which is the Lord Almighty, and they definitely don't have the authority of Scripture. They don't want the authority of Scripture. They don't love the Word of God. That's an easy thing for us to see. Matter of fact, they hate it. And they don't want to be told what to do or how to do it. And they want to remove the things of God. They want to remove God and they want to remove His Scripture. And the third thing is, as we will see, they're not planted. They're not planted. They're blown over. And it says, it goes on to say in verse 4, like a chaff which the wind drives away. So the ungodly are not like this, but are like the chaff which the wind blows away. So the chaff, as they were separating the grain and the wheat and the tares, and the chaff and the wheat, and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow all the chaff away, and the grain would fall to the threshing floor, and they'd pick it up there. So, we see this picture of the godly, and we see this picture of the ungodly, and then we see the judicial separation, God's judgment. In verse 5 and 6, it says this, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This is the truth. This is where we are. God is going to judge the ungodly. He's going to judge us. But we're not going to, the ungodly will not be able to stand in the congregation of the righteous. He's going to have, as James 2:13 says, judgment without mercy. You know, this is a sobering thing to think about. But the good thing is that the Lord knows all, and He knows the way of the righteous. Because He knows your heart. He knows everyone's heart here. God won't be mocked. What a man sows, he's going to reap. What we put our minds and our thoughts and our monies and our efforts to, the things that we sow and work the most, that's what we will reap. You sow godliness, you're going to reap godliness. You sow ungodliness, you're going to reap ungodliness. I don't even know how long that was. But I do want to share a few things with you before I go. Today we were going to just share with you our elders and deacons. And there's no vote that we need to take because we've already gone through all that process. And so I wanted to be able to share that with you. And so I was going to do it as we ate together and fellowship together, but I'm going to do it this way. Your elders and deacons are the first. I'm going to do the deacons, Rodney Smith, and Rodney's not here. He's under the weather also. Steve Patrick, Tyler Kirkland, and Jason Johnson. Those are our deacons. The elders are myself and Sonny Fortunato. I always say that wrong. Rick Blanchett and Jerry Blanchett and Philip Draham. Those are your elders. Now, there's something I want to share with you, and I'm going to print out some constitutions and put them out on our in our foyer for you. In our constitution, elders and deacons should be reaffirmed every year. Okay? So, and I want you to know that the reaffirmation process, and I know this is going to sound funny for me to say this, but every no vote counts. Like when you don't affirm somebody, those men look at those and they it weighs on them. They pray about it. They ask the Lord, "Lord, is there something? Am I disqualifying myself? Should I not be in this office or in this position?" And so I want you to know that and we're going to do it. Even though we're 6 months into this year, we're going to do it. As our Constitution says, we're going to do it every year. So at the end of this year, we're going to have a reaffirmation, and then we're going to do it like we're supposed to. But next time that we have the cards, because we've already discussed this, we're going to put comment, you know, have a place where you can not just write it, put a no, but write why you put no, if you put no down. So I want you to know it's that reaffirmation is not about a majority vote. Does that make sense? It's about you being able to say, I affirm this person, yes. I don't affirm this person, no. And this is why. Does that make sense? For them to take that back between them and the Lord and say, what's going on in my life that I'm not seeing or that I'm brushing under the carpet or the rug? Does that make sense? All right. Second thing I wanted to share with you. I had a whole lot more. I had it written down, but it's okay. The Lord knows. Sunday, July the 4th, we would like to have an installation service where we have a service for all of our elders and deacons. We would like to take the Lord's Supper together. We would like to have a fellowship lunch after church and have a business meeting. Now, my heart attack has messed everything up. We were supposed to have business meeting in April, and I messed it up. And I apologize. And Diane's been gone for a month, but we knew that was going to happen. And so we don't have any financial records. We weren't going to give a financial report today anyways. I was just going to talk to you and give you a chance to ask questions about the Constitution and bylaw and the reaffirmation process. But I think this is what the Lord wants us to do. So we'll just leave it at this. So I apologize for my rambling. I hope that you're blessed a little bit. Come back next week and we'll crack open, Lord willing, Isaiah 29 and tear it out of the frame. Okay? I do not feel very Pentecostal today. Thank goodness we don't live by our feelings. Amen. That God is sovereign and His word is alive and active. Well, I was going to ask Philip to pray, but he got up and left. Okay, come on. Philip, come up and pray for us. And y'all have a wonderful lunch. I'm going to go get in bed. Y'all have a wonderful time.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, that you have woken us up, Lord, that you've stirred our hearts to come seek you this morning, to worship you with our brothers and sisters. And we ask that as we reflect on what we've heard, that you would strengthen us and embolden us. Lord, cause us to live like the godly. Let us be planted and rooted. Let us love your law. We ask that you would continue to bind us together as your people, that you would make us one unified body in Christ, that you'd help us to love each other truly. As we leave this time and go into our fellowship, we ask that you would bless the food to our bodies, and that you would bless this time for your service and your glory. We'll be sure to give you the praise and honor in Christ's name. Amen.